Ready? I am now convening the Prosper Portland Budget Committee for the purpose of approving the fiscal year 24-25 budget. The Prosper Portland budget was provided to the public and members of the Budget Committee on Friday, May 3rd. Keelan, please are here. Take care of what you need to do over there, Keelan, then call the roll.
Commissioner, we need to convene first as the Portland City
Council.
Okay.
Oh, that's all right. No problem. Here, take two. We just got off to a rough start, but I will pull this together again.
I think I can call the roll for City Council.
Sure. Call it. Hold up. So we do this like a normal council session. Rules of order, decorum, all that kind of stuff. All right. Good. Here, I actually have a cheat sheet here. You can talk amongst yourselves for a second.
You didn't get the blue jacket on yet. Not
all right, let's try this again. This is the May 8th afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, please call the roll.
Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Wheeler.
And now I'll turn it over to legal counsel for the rules of order and decorum.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with City Council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may adjourn and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you are a lobbyist, and if you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers who are joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think this is the part of the meeting where I say, I am now convening the Prosper Portland Budget Committee for the purpose of approving the fiscal year 24-25 budget. The Prosper Portland budget was provided to the public and members of the Budget Committee on May 3rd. Keelan, please call the roll.
Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Maps.
Here. Colleagues, the mayor's proposed budget includes just under $2 million in additional funding for several important programs and positions in Prosper's budget. These investments include personnel and direct event sponsorship resources for the Events and Films Office. These activities will be significant drivers in our city's revitalization. There's also funds for the creation of the first ever small business office, a resource for advocacy and navigation in service of our city's small businesses. There are also additional funds for repair grants to support small businesses with the cost of property damage. There's also a new position to move forward large scale public-private partnerships and redevelopment opportunities, so that we are continuing to produce more affordable housing, attracting more business investments, and creating greater economic opportunities for all Portlanders. Before we hear an overview of Prosper Portland's budget, I'd like to invite Commissioner Rubio who oversees Prosper Portland, to share a few words.
Thank you, Council President. Before we begin the presentation, I wanted to mention just a few important appreciations. As the commissioner in charge of the Community Economic Development Service Area, I want to thank Prosper Portland and particularly the leadership of Director Kimberly Branham and her team, and also Chair Tavo Cruz and the Prosper Board for ensuring that the budget aligns with the advanced Portland priorities, such as a focus on creating an office of small business, supporting events and repair grants, and maintaining Prosper Portland's ability to advance inclusive growth as the current generation of tax increment districts sunset. As the city's economic development agency, it's really great to see that they have really centered the growth of specific industry sectors that have committed to Portland and have committed to creating industries that have a focus on creating family wage jobs and sustainable practices. This good work ensures that we are promoting opportunities for all Portlanders through equitable wealth creation. So with that, I will turn it over to Chair Cruz and Executive Director Branham.
Oh, sorry. Before we do that, may I read the title of the item so we have it on the record? Okay, great, thanks. Item 368, Council convenes as Prosper Portland Budget Committee to receive the Prosper Portland Fiscal Year 2024-25 proposed budget and hold a public hearing. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Commissioner Rubio and Commissioner Mapps. Appreciate your introductory comments. I'm Gustavo Cruz, Chair of the Prosper Portland Board of Commissioners. I'm joined by our Executive Director, Kimberly Branham, Economic Development Director, Shay Flaherty Bateen, Development and Investment Director, Lisa Abwaf, and Tony Barnes, Chief Financial Officer. We are pleased to be here this afternoon to present the fiscal year 2024-25 proposed budget to City Council, serving as Prosper Portland's Budget Committee. I will start us off, and then Kimberly will provide an overview of the budget, key outcomes, and our strategic priorities. Shay and Lisa will then share how those priorities show up in the programs and projects, and how that programming is supported by returning TIF and other general fund resources in the mayor's proposed budget, as well as a new Portland Clean Energy Fund allocation to support small business and commercial properties in making clean energy infrastructure improvements. The team will also discuss final projects and programs in several closeout TIF districts, as well as our work in exploring the creation of new TIF districts that will support investments in the central city and East Portland. As we look to the 2024-25 fiscal year, Advance Portland, a call to action for inclusive economic growth, will be in its second year, providing a key strategic framework guiding Prosper Portland's priorities and budget. The budgeted resources and investments align with the mayor's proposed budget and Prosper Portland's 10-year financial sustainability plan, which guide the agency's financial and business practices in the context of declining tax increment, financing revenues, and the need for more flexible resources to support inclusive economic prosperity. Accordingly, the proposed investments deploy a diversity of funds and a social impact investment model to help Portland small businesses, traded sector industries, and central city and neighborhood commercial districts to stabilize and grow through community-driven, equity-centered programs like IBRN, Arcadis, My People's Market, Portland Means Progress, TIF District Action Plans, Small Business Grants and Loans, and the Neighborhood Prosperity Network. We have another slide. Great, thank you. On behalf of the board, I offer our thanks to the members of the Community Budget Committee listed here, as well as the many community partners and staff involved in preparation of this budget. We appreciate the considerable time invested in refining and prioritizing investments in alignment with both citywide and geographically specific priorities, as well as a racial equity lens. We also very much appreciate the investments included in Mayor Wheeler's proposed budget that will fully fund implementation of the Small Business Office, continue to fully fund the Office of Events and Film, and provide ongoing support to Portland small businesses through repair grants. Thank you for your commitment to and belief in Prosper Portland's work to advance an inclusive recovery and to economic growth in Portland. And as board chair, I would also like to specially call out the Prosper Portland staff and Tony Barnes and his team for their great work on this budget. And now I will hand the presentation over to Executive Director Kimberly Branham.
Thank you, Chair Cruz. Good afternoon. Commissioners, for the record, my name is Kimberly Branham, Executive Director of Prosper Portland, and we are really delighted to be with you today. As you know, this is the culmination of months of work, and so we're glad to be able to have an opportunity to discuss our full budget with you. As has been discussed, our work plan and this budget is guided by Advance Portland. The fiscal year 24-25 proposed budget includes funding that enables progress on key strategic priorities. So that you'll see that within business retention and growth, there is budgeted staff and investment that will deploy business retention, expansion, outreach tools, and enable an economic impact statement. In order to support small businesses, we've been discussing that this budget will seed the first Office of Small Business and provide support, supportive resources for lending, technical assistance, tenanting, and repair grants. The Business District Recovery is advanced through catalytic events supported by the Office of Film and Events and the commercial projects on neighborhood main streets. And finally, you'll see inclusive development priorities advanced through catalytic commercial and middle income housing development projects, some in the pipeline already, and completing the new TIF district exploration process within East Portland and Central City to enhance future funding for stabilization, inclusive growth, business retention, housing production, and infrastructure, if it is determined that it's supported. Next slide, please. All right, at a high level, our proposed budget includes $300 million in available resources, and we anticipate up to $161 million in total expenditures. You'll see that 67% of funding resources come from existing tax increment finance districts. And that's going to be the focus of our discussion today. We're going to dig deep on the TIF districts because we had an opportunity to talk to you about the other citywide funding tools when we were here with the rest of the service area. But as you'll recall, the remaining 33% of resources come from revolving loan resources, federal grants, general funds, recreational cannabis funds, and Portland Clean Energy Fund resources. The figure includes the approximately $17.3 million in ongoing resources from general funds and the cannabis tax funds. Not included in the numbers is another $47 million that's budgeted across tax increment finance districts for the housing set aside that will be transferred directly to the Portland Housing Bureau. Of the $161 million budgeted for Prosper Portland, about $106 million is available for inclusive development through commercial lending, property investment grants, major projects, and asset management. $26 million supports citywide economic development programs as well as business lending. And $11 million is available for infrastructure investments that unlock private development. All of this work is enabled through critical operational and administrative support to deliver this work. The budget includes a total of 105 full-time and limited-term employees. This includes 7 positions above the current fiscal year, largely due to the new small business office positions and the Portland Clean Energy Fund programming. Next slide, please. Oh, with that, I'm handing it to Lisa. Yes.
Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, I'm Lisa Abwoff, Director of Development and Investment with Prosper Portland, and I'm pleased to be here today to provide an overview of our TIF district budgets and investment priorities. And we're at a pretty pivotal moment. We're going to go into this in further detail in the next chapter of the slide, but for many of these districts, they're actually expiring. So they're at the end of the life of the district. These are longstanding TIF districts, largely in the central city. To talk about a little bit about the exploring forming new TIF districts as well in East Portland and the Central City and how that's informing our spend down thoughts for the existing TIF districts. Given this unique moment of transition, my slides will provide a broader budget context than what you see before you just for 24-25 because it felt like it was important to really talk about our closeout strategies from a financial picture. And as this slide outlines, if you go to the next slide, our TIF district investments.
She messed me up. I did. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Tony Barnes, CFO, and I'll be introducing the tax increment districts kind of at a higher level, talking about the life cycle of districts on this slide and the next couple of slides before I hand it over to Director Abwa for the in-depth discussion on districts. The status of each district and what it means to close out or conclude a district has become a really critical part of the proposed budget. as well as the overall TIF exploration process that we'll be discussing in the presentation. From this slide, we have several categories. We define the life cycle to include active districts, districts that are currently collecting TIF revenue and have outstanding tax increment debt, but also investing in projects actively. There's also sunsetting districts, those that where the bonds are paid, the debt's paid. TIF revenue is also no longer collected, but TIF proceeds are still being invested in projects actively being invested. We have concluded districts, those which where the bonds are paid, there's no TIF being collected anymore, and there's residual program income to continue investing in some activities. But finally, there's terminated districts where all projects are complete and a notice of termination has been recorded with the county to finalize the district at the very end. This slide illustrates the timeline of existing TIF districts and what the anticipated status of those districts will be in the next fiscal year. Three districts, Airport Way and two Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts, have concluded and have been formally terminated with the county. Eight districts shown in blue here, Downtown Waterfront, South Park Blocks, Oregon Convention Center, River District, and four remaining Neighborhood Prosperity districts are concluding, meaning they no longer have debt, no longer are collecting tax increment resources, and all the TIF proceeds have been spent, but there may be some program income in those districts remaining. But the formal termination has not yet occurred yet with those districts. Four districts shown in yellow, Central East Side, Interstate, Willamette, and Lentz, are sunsetting, meaning that they have, that while bonds are repaid and TIF is no longer collected, they have ongoing spending through next fiscal year and in the budget. And finally, there are three active districts remaining, North McAdam, Gateway, and the newest district, Cully, which will continue to issue debt and spend proceeds beyond next fiscal year. This North McAdam for the next few years and Gateway and Cully into the 2030s. When combining total investments in the current fiscal year with next fiscal year and the four-year forecast, the total investment's about $276 million. In community-based TIF district investments. And when adding this out, the housing set aside, the total is $361 million over the next few years. The expenditures can be summarized in four major categories, grants and infrastructure, business and property lending, asset management, and commercial tenanting, which also includes a couple other categories. Business and property lending makes up about 28% or $77 million of the planned expenditures. That includes tenant improvement loans, commercial property loans, investments. Grants and infrastructure category includes no return on capital or investment. They represent both grants to small businesses and nonprofits, as well as infrastructure investments to unlock development. The final category here, asset management, commercial tenanting, includes the operations and maintenance related to commercial tenanting, as well as holding costs for properties, including Broadway Corridor and other action plan investments. So with that summary, I'll now hand it over to Director Abwa for in-depth discussion on TIF districts.
So next slide, please. Thanks. So this slide actually mirrors a slide that you saw earlier this spring when we presented the ways in which our general fund activities further advance Portland. As this slide outlines, Prosper Portland's TIF district investments and programs also help to deliver on all four of Advance Portland's objectives, from supporting our small businesses and property owners' access to capital, to our construction equity policy, which delivers new job opportunities for COBID certified firms and apprenticeship workforce opportunities on our projects. And as council is aware, TIF is central to our ability to deliver on our place-based goals that are largely captured in Objective 3, or fostering a vibrant central city and commercial districts. Next slide, please. So while much of our work in TIF districts is accomplished through land acquisition and disposition agreements with development partners, that's very often the larger scale projects that you hear about, we also wanted to highlight some of the other key financial and real estate programs that we offer within Prosper Portland with our TIF and within our TIF districts that help to stabilize and grow our small businesses, help with property ownership, and with larger scale commercial development. We offer a range of financial programs from, and you see just a couple of those listed here, from our smaller grants like the Prosperity Investment Program grant that helps small businesses make tenant improvements or facade improvements, to larger scale loans, which we recently retooled to better address gaps in the conventional lending market, particularly given current market conditions, to direct leasing and tenanting of space that can offer important commercial hubs and anchors to surrounding residents. And in the upper right, you just see a couple of the small businesses that we've worked with in various capacities, from Ladybug Academy, which is a childcare provider that received both a loan and grant to help them to move into space on the ground floor of a PCRI building on MLK, or the Phoenix Pharmacy project in along Foster Avenue in Lentz, which was an unreinforced masonry building that we provided a commercial property loan to renovate and re-tenant a long vacant building. And we worked in conjunction with a longtime property owner to tenanting of various properties that Prosper owns or manages at Alberta Commons, 10th and Yamhill, the Nick Fish and Lentz Commons towards affordable commercial opportunities. Next slide, please. So before digging into kind of individual district budget overviews, we wanted to highlight four key projects and priorities for the agency this coming year. As you know, development projects often take multiple years, and these projects will continue to be before you as we advance through the 24-25 budget and probably into the 25-26 budget. Some of those key priorities specific to 24-25 include progress on Broadway Corridor in the River District, TIF District. We've completed demolition and we're working with the Portland Bureau of Transportation to initiate construction of Johnson and Kearney, as well as with the Portland Housing Bureau on their phase one affordable housing project that cannot build without those new streets and utilities. In the upper right-hand corner, you see the Williams and Russell project in the Interstate TIF District, where we're working with the Williams and Russell CDC, Audrey Development and PCRI, as well as the Portland Housing Bureau on the build out of three projects. And then with Legacy Health, who currently owns that land, on the transfer of the property back to the CDC and the community as steward of the land. Moving to the east, you see the two projects at the lower end. We have a negotiated disposition and development agreement with Palindrome Communities for redevelopment of property that Prosper Portland owns at Southeast 92nd and Herald that can deliver on 159 new mixed income housing projects within the Lentz TIF district. And then on the right, you see in the Gateway TIF District, we have a similar agreement with Madomi Development, the David Douglas School District, and an IGA with the Portland Bureau of Transportation for the construction of new streets at Northeast Oregon and 100th, which will make over 10 acres of property available for future development, both with modular housing and future district, future school expansion for David Douglas Schools. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to go district by district and hopefully kind of provide you with a snapshot, both about what are the key priorities, but where are they in their life cycle and how is that informing our budget thoughts. So the Old Town Action Plan is actually overlaps two key districts. So it overlaps into the River District as well as the Downtown Waterfront TIF District. There is just over $30 million remaining in our commitment on implementing on the action plan priorities, with the majority of those funds coming from program income resources. So this touches on something that Tony mentioned. These are not tax increment finance resources. These are program income resources that came back to the agency through loan repayment and land sales. Our key priority is to introduce new market rate and middle income housing within Old Town Chinatown. And we're working to invest in two commercial to residential conversions that would introduce approximately 100 new middle income units into the district. We're also underwriting loans to new commercial projects, such as the Creative Homies project at Northwest 4th and Gleason, and working with Helos and other partners on the Made in Old Town initiative that is working to acquire and build out approximately 30,000 square feet of green footwear manufacturing facility, as well as supporting the James Beard Market in their negotiations to locate within Old Town. The Central City TIF exploration discussions do include a potential new West Side TIF district that could include Old Town, Broadway Corridor, and parts of downtown. And accordingly, we anticipate seeking council direction on a package of actions that would formally close out those older TIF districts and propose a new TIF district later this fall. Next slide, please. In addition to the Old Town commitments, the River District Fund has $11 million remaining, and that's net of housing as well. And those resources are committed to two key closeout activities. The first
is tied to Prosper Portland's ownership of the Broadway corridor site and related obligations, including the local improvement district payments to support the completion of Johnson and Kearney at the USPS site in partnership with the Bureau of Transportation. As I mentioned earlier, this infrastructure is required for our ongoing negotiations with Related and Melvin Mark on future private build-out of the property, as well as the Portland Housing Bureau's ability to deliver on their development of their property, or Block 4, which they actually have out for RFP submittals from teams who submitted to a previous RFQ. The other key bucket of activity in the River District is we have significant property holdings and management costs within the River District. This is something that Tony touched on, tied to Centennial Mills, the Station Place parking garage, and Union Station. We have a disposition agreement in place for the Centennial Mills property, and disposition of that property continues to be a top priority. You may have actually seen that the developer has started to prepare the site for future development and recently removed the MPU paddock building that was located on the site. We're also in ongoing discussions with ODOT and Amtrak regarding the long-term ownership and asset management of Union Station, given the station is central to Amtrak's ability to continue to provide passenger rail service, not just for our city, but for our region and our state. Next slide, please. The Central East Side District, compared to River District and Downtown Waterfront, is actually a sunsetting district. So it does have remaining tax increment finance resources of approximately $18 million over the next fiscal year and subsequent years. Next fiscal year, we anticipate a number of priority budget and TIF plan related activities. First, we're negotiating a development agreement with OMSI and city partners that would commit just under $11 million of tax increment financing for construction of New Water Avenue. This is a top priority for OMSI, and the long-term build-out of their properties adjacent to the Orange Line relies on the New Water Avenue infrastructure construction. You'll see that line item in both this fiscal year and next fiscal year's budget. We do anticipate bringing that development agreement term sheet to council for consideration later this summer. The Central City TIF Exploration Steering Committee has also expressed support for a new TIF district in the south end of the Central East Side. The anticipated package of TIF district related actions this fall that would come before council could therefore include amending and shrinking the current Central East Side TIF district just to the north end. And that would allow us to continue to spend the existing remaining TIF resources we have after our investment in New Water Avenue to support small businesses via grants and loans for another 2 to 3 years. Next slide, please. The Lens TIF district is similar to the Central East Side. You'll note it is a sunsetting TIF district, so it does still have remaining TIF available. It has approximately $17 million remaining in that TIF district, with significant investment anticipated for Prosper properties within the Lentz Town Center at 92nd and Foster. We have an active agreement and are working with Palindrome Communities to determine financing that is needed to deliver on a new 150-unit project that aligns with their initial community vision that was set out in the Lentz Action Plan and furthers on the city's housing production strategy. In addition, we do have existing assets also at the Lentz Town Center. We own Lentz Commons, and we are actively tenanting the ground floor of that space in alignment with our affordable commercial goals. We've received an LOI, and we're in negotiations with a tenant to tenant up the two of the three remaining ground floor spaces at Lentz Commons, and we are reserving resources to provide affordable commercial space support to them through things like tenant improvement grants and support. We're also continuing to work with Mercado, who actually leases their property on Southeast Foster from Prosper Portland, both to address immediate fire damage repair as well as longer term property ownership of the site. Similar to the Central City TIF exploration processes, the East Portland TIF exploration discussions do include the potential for a new TIF district along 82nd Avenue that could include portions of what is currently in the Lentz TIF district. That would, similar to the Central East side, that would mean we would need to amend the Lentz TIF district to shrink it to a smaller area so that any new TIF district could be created along 82nd, because we can't have the same area in two TIF districts at once. The amended district, the shrunken district, would then have additional resources that are remaining in the existing Lentz TIF district available to continue to spend down via loans and grants to small businesses over the next 2 to 3 years. Next slide. Okay, so the Interstate TIF district is what we often call more the North Northeast district. We do have an action plan that guides our investments in that district. Like the Central East Side and the Lentz TIF districts, the Interstate TIF district is sunsetting, but it has much more significant resources remaining of approximately $44 million to invest over the next fiscal year and forecast years. Our investments in the district are guided by the North Northeast Community Development Action Plan and our work with the North Northeast Leadership Committee. So we have a committee that meets on a monthly basis to help guide our investments in alignment with the action plan. These economic development investments actually parallel the Housing Bureau's North Northeast neighborhood housing strategy, which guides their investments in affordable housing and via the preference policy. We actually recently revamped our commercial property loan products, largely to align with some of the goals that were called for in the action plan and to better respond to gaps in access to capital, particularly for long-time property owners in North Northeast who are looking to redevelop or renovate their properties, and for smaller businesses looking to make tenant improvements. We also launched an affordable commercial grant pilot program in North Northeast, and so you'll see resources in the Interstate TIF budget for that. That program will provide grant funding to property owners who are actively working with businesses to lease their space at below market rates. They would then signing up for the lower the market rates would actually then make them eligible for a grant. And another long-time priority for the leadership committee is investment in a cultural business hub or hubs within North Northeast. We recently issued a request for expressions of interest, and we're actually working with three of the proposers to invest up to $6 million in each of their projects or across their projects to develop a gathering place for tenants, to provide technical assistance, and to provide access to financial resources for small businesses in line with the community's vision for a cultural business hub. And finally, the picture you see in the lower left, again, we are partnering with the Williams and Russell CDC, Audrey Development PCRI, as well as with the Housing Bureau on co-investment in the Williams and Russell property that Legacy Health has committed to transfer to the CDC. Our primary investment to date in the Williams and Russell project is to fund pre-development activities such as site partitioning and early design on the Black Business Hub. And we anticipate a more significant investment over the next 2 to 3 years will be made as part of the financial stack for the Black Business Hub project. Next slide, please. So transitioning now to those three districts that continue to have access both to tax increment finance resources and also whose bonds are not paid off. North McAdam is still an active district, and we anticipate having significant resources to invest in both economic development and affordable housing over the coming 5+ years. Budget priorities for the coming fiscal year includes updating and delivering on a disposition and development agreement that we have with Portland State University. This has been a partnership that we've had with them for 5+ years. Past outcomes of this agreement include the development of the building that actually the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is co-located in with Portland State University, which was actually developed on property that was transferred by Prosper Portland. More near-term investments include supporting PSU's relocation and build-out of the Portland State Business Accelerator, as well as future redevelopment of the University Place property. It's a partnership that contemplates mixed-use development, which could include, this was done prior to their bid for Keller Auditorium, but could include Keller Auditorium if they are successful in their bid. We're also continuing discussions with the South Portland Neighborhood Association, Bureau partners, particularly the Bureau of Transportation and Parks, as well as large landowners like OHSU and Zidell, around the ongoing need for key infrastructure investments in Bond Avenue and the South Portal to support new vertical development. This past year, we also introduced our Small Business and Community Livability Grant programs within South Waterfront based on the Neighborhood Association's interest in partnering or sponsoring community-based improvements. Next slide, please. Similar to North McAdam, Gateway is an active TIF district, where we are able to continue to deliver on community priorities in East Portland. Over the past year or so, we've been working with community partners to actually update the 2016 Gateway Action Plan, which will then guide the over $45 million of investment that we have available over the coming years. The action plan resulted in significant projects like Gateway Discovery Park, small business grants to support retailers along the Halsey-Weidler corridor in coordination with PBOT's infrastructure improvements and development of the mixed-use, mixed-income Nick Fish project. More recently, we have invested in tenant improvements to actually tenant the ground floor of the Nick Fish, and we're working with a childcare provider called Happy Go Lucky to tenant the space, which will be a great combination with the park next door. And we're negotiating additional LOIs on remaining space. And again, our TIF resources go to support them via tenant improvements. As previously mentioned, we also have the development agreement with Madobe Gateway and David Douglas School District, as well as our IGA with the Bureau of Transportation to deliver on infrastructure improvements that could unlock both a future expansion of David Douglas School District, as well as over 200 new units of modular construction of workforce housing at the Transit Center. Next slide, please. And this brings us to the end, our newest TIF district and kind of key partners as we're thinking about the future of TIF districts. The Cully TIF district will be in its second year in 24-25, so there are very minimal resources next fiscal year, but approximately $11 million in resources over the next 5 years. We're working with the committee that was appointed by this council, as well as the Prosper Board, to develop a 5-year action plan that will guide the investment of those resources. And in the immediate term, we'll use the small amount of economic development dollars that we have for next fiscal year to provide grants to small businesses within the district, similar to the grants that R 42nd and Cully Boulevard Alliance provided to small businesses in the past. Similarly, when you look at our neighborhood prosperity initiative areas, there's very little TIF remaining for those areas to deliver direct small business grants. Are those organizations, particularly Rosewood, Jade District, Division Midway, and Hazelwood, continue to provide local community economic development capacity, largely through their general fund allocations, and are close partners in the city's East Portland TIF District exploration. And with that, I will hand it to Kimberly to go over where we are with the exploration process.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, we're 2/3 of the way done. I know this is a lot of information. We appreciate your attention. But as Lisa mentioned, this coming fiscal year is really an inflection point for Portland's tax increment finance districts, with one generation of districts effectively sunsetting and concluding, and active community conversations regarding the potential for the next generation of tax increment finance districts. So I want to talk a little bit about where we are there. Next slide, please. All right, so as we look at the TIF exploration process, you'll see that we're getting close to some key decision points. In line with the direction that we received from you all in June of 2023, we're supporting the work of the East Portland and Central City Steering Committees and related working groups to identify priorities, geographic boundaries, and project lists. These groups are leading community engagement and helping to draft plan components with draft plans for any new TIF districts anticipated to be largely complete, by the summer, and a council action anticipated in the fall. The Prosper Portland Board is expected to formally launch that approval process in August or September, with taxing jurisdiction coordination and a planning commission hearing to follow in anticipation of that city council action in the fall. If approved, tax increment finance resources would become available at the beginning of fiscal year 25-26. Next slide, please. So as you'll recall, up to 15% of the city's acreage and assessed value can be within a tax increment finance district. With North McAdam, Gateway, and Cully as the remaining active TIF districts, this coming fiscal year, just 3% of the city's acreage and assessed value would be in active districts. Accordingly, the City Council resolution set parameters for each exploration process, allocating the available assessed value and acreage towards East Portland and the Central City, with the advisory committees able to develop proposed districts within the limits that you see highlighted here. Next slide, please. All right, so with guidance from East Portland Steering Committee, the three East Portland working groups have established the draft district boundaries that you see here. And I want to take a moment just to appreciate the work that they are doing. These are volunteers who have spent their time going block by block to identify where they think it will be most valuable for the priorities that have been articulated in order to create the new districts. Together, we're actively soliciting input from a broad and diverse set of stakeholders. The current 82nd Avenue, Columbia Park Rose, and East 205 districts include commercial, mixed-use, and residential areas that align with the inclusive growth priorities. The district's assessed value and acreage are within the established caps, and if created, the districts could generate up to $1.5 billion for investment over 30 years towards the plan priorities. Next slide, please. So tomorrow morning, the Central City Steering Committee is going to review this map that you see here with updated district boundaries, which have been informed by the committee and by key stakeholders. The draft Westside, Lloyd, and Tillicum East districts, these are placeholder names, so if people have strong opinions, we are taking all opinions, which incorporates the Tillicum East district, incorporates southern portions of the Central East Side Industrial District, bringing catalytic redevelopment opportunities, including Lloyd Center, OMSI, and Broadway Corridor, as well as West Side waterfront and commercial and mixed-use areas that will likely require significant public and private investment in order to recover. Collectively, the districts are anticipated to generate up to $1.1 billion over 30 years and are also within the defined value asset assessed value and acreage cap. Next slide, please. So this final slide before I turn it over to Shay to wrap us up summarizes the budget assumptions in line with the district budgets that Lisa presented and the exploration process that I just touched on. This graph illustrates how we anticipate the Portland Housing Bureau and Prosper Portland will spend down the accumulated resources from current tax increment districts, which you see in blue. Without new TIF districts, new TIF capital and programming resources in green are fairly modest, and as we mentioned, are limited to Gateway and Cully by 2028. The potential new districts that we just discussed could generate about $70 million in new TIF between 25-26 and 29-30. That's shown in gold, meaning that about $30 million for Portland Housing Bureau and $40 million for Prosper Portland could be invested over a five-year period before producing about $160 million in new TIF in fiscal year 2030-31 when long-term debt can be issued. We look forward to continued discussion with City Council regarding the potential districts in the coming months. All right, Shay.
Thanks, Director Brown. Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Shay Flaherty-Bethine. I use pronouns like he, him, and él, and I serve as a director of economic development at Prosper Portland. I'm hoping that this section is actually a brief review and reminder of our joint service area presentation that we provided earlier in the spring. You've just heard about our TIF activities, which make up the preponderance of our budget. And so the following slides represent the portions of our citywide work and programs that are funded by general fund, cannabis, community development block grants, and starting next year for the first time, the Portland Clean Energy Fund. And before I jump in, I really want to thank all the incredible staff across our economic development teams and really their resilience and creativity over the past few years of economic upheaval and uncertainty. The budget you see before you reflects not just their ongoing work and dedication, but also our collective efforts, everyone in this room, to see our city recover and grow in new ways. Go to the next slide. So again, this is a reminder of our various departments' business lines and how they align with the latest Advanced Portland strategy. With an inclusive growth and innovation, we continue to have a laser focus on our city's competitive advantages within these local industry clusters. And we continue to leverage Enterprise Zone as our key incentive for job growth, as well as expanding, retaining, and attracting firms. We support neighborhoods and districts via the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and Venture Portland districts. And I'm pleased to say that we will continue playing a role in both downtown and citywide activation through the relatively new Office of Events and Film, which is also responsible for putting on events like My People's Market and last year's Winter Ice Rink. There's also our ongoing investments and partnership with Work Systems, Inc. for youth and adult workforce development. And last but not least, support for diverse wealth building through programs like the Inclusive Business Resource Network, my colleague Shabri Vickers' leadership in deploying Reimagine Oregon dollars, and new efforts to centralize a lot of the services you see on screen. As many of you have noted today, the new Office of Small Business. which you'll recall we also discussed last month while this council was accepting a report on the state of small business. If you go to the next slide. So much of this work is remaining constant, but what you see on the slide reflects both how returning TIF and general funds are going to be deployed with a few key updates. Both returning TIF and the mayor's proposed budget allocations are part of a new co-investment from both the city and Travel Portland into the Office of Events and Film. And that's to support event and film producers alike in activating our city, bringing back foot traffic, and telling the story of Portland. There's returning TIF that we're allocating to new staff capacity to stand up the Office of Small Business, where we expect staff to serve as liaisons that can serve small business owners directly, much in the same way that we're currently have capacity for relationship building to serve and support large employers in our cluster industries and employers and directors and other folks in the film industry. You'll see there's a one-time allocation for repair grants, which we know, unfortunately and sadly, continues to be a need for small business owners in our city around issues like broken windows and security costs. There's also a new project manager focused solely on public-private real estate projects, but primarily outside of TIS districts where we know the bulk of our resources lie. And you can see in blue just how returning TIF funds and the set-aside is now playing that role that TIF used to in subsidizing all of these council-funded priorities. I will also note this chart is inclusive of staffing because when we go to the next slide, you'll see that this chart, as opposed to the last slide, is a full picture across all the key programs and investments that are available citywide, again, meaning they're not restricted to TIF districts, and these are inclusive of staff costs. So when you look at the Office of Small Business, it looks small. That's because the bulk of the resources in the first year are to stand up the staffing. And again, meaning that these are not TIF resources. So we have general fund, cannabis, the strategic investment fund, federal community development block grants, and E-Zone funds all supporting these programs. You'll note that there are several programs here. The bar in gray shows our funding last year. They're funded at lower levels, mainly due to ARPA funds, as well as our seed grants winding down and a 7% reduction to our ongoing operational budget. I'll also note the preponderance of the backlog that was held by Reimagine Oregon is going out the door this year. So you'll see a smaller number in starting next fiscal year. The largest increases you see on the screen come from PSEF investments that were outlined as part of the city's climate investment plan. Most of these funds, I'm pleased to say, will be going directly out the door as financial assistance, mainly in grants and loans deployed by many of the staff on Lisa's team. You'll be seeing opportunities next fiscal year, such as grants for small businesses to make energy efficient investments in building upgrades. You'll see expanded support for both technical assistance and equipment purchasing through programs like the Inclusive Business Resource Network, as well as new loan financing products at a smaller scale for commercial retrofits. We're excited by the five-year partnership with PSEF and for the opportunity to really help small businesses be a part of the city's climate goals. And I think that's, if we go to the next slide, we have time for questions and discussion.
Before we do that, Keelan, how many folks do we have signed up for testimony?
One person.
Could we go ahead and hear from that individual in case they want to move on to something else today, and then we can come back and do the Q&A. Why don't we call on that one person, please?
Joshua Meek.
Are they online?
No.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's a nice building. I haven't been here before. I used to intern with Vera Katz back in the day, and we weren't in City Hall. We were in another building, and so it was kind of nice. This is great. I was expecting more people. I remember more people going to these. Anyways, one thing I wanted to say to Prosper Portland, they're doing a great job. You know, you might go on the state's website. The Secretary of State has your name expired in 2021, so it might be a good thing to renew your name so someone doesn't go and buy it and, you know, create something else that's called Prosper Portland. It'd be kind of a bad thing for the city, I think. Embarrassing. I come today, I'm an executive director of the Portland Film Festival, what I like to think is a signature event in Portland. Film is something I think, like all art, it really helps people connect. And I think our city is hurting in places. And what did people do during COVID? They watched a lot of movies. And Sundance is thinking about moving. And I wanted to come today to encourage Prosper Portland and all of our council members and anyone that runs for office to support the idea of bringing Sundance to Portland. It would be so good for our industry. So good for our industry. I do want to say one thing about the budget of Prosper Portland. I wish they'd spend more money on art, not just film. You know, as someone that works at a fairly known film festival, I think Movie Maker Magazine wrote about all the festivals in the world, and our festival is the only one they really talked about from Oregon. And it's really sad when an organization as wonderful and as great as Prosper Portland only, you know, sends $5,000. You know, it would be great to get some more money so that we can bring more filmmakers. You know, every year we bring hundreds of filmmakers, their cast and crew, and we say, hey, make a movie in Portland. And that's happened before. And I just want to thank everyone for letting me speak. Sorry if I've gone over my 2 minutes. Thank you all. And, you know, Prosper Portland does a great job. I love the idea of doing the events and film category. Elisa does well. I just wish they got more money because film is just so important. Art is so important to our culture, and to ignore it, that means I got to go.
Nope.
30 seconds. You know, the new budget, $8.2 billion. And I was looking at art. We give out about $8 million a year to artists now, not including any behind the scenes stuff. But, you know, Seattle gives about 21. And their budget last year was 7.4. So let's bring it up a little bit. You don't have to give it to the Portland Film Festival. I would love if you would, but don't do it. Let's give it to the other organizations. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Josh. Thank Appreciate you. Your being here. Great. Q&A, anybody? So Josh said something that I'm enthusiastically supportive of. I've heard those rumors as well about Sundance. I assume we will pitch that. Is that correct?
That's right. We have our Portland Film Office staff. We don't want to reveal anything too soon, but there is an RFP process, and we are seeking to apply.
Good. And Josh, your input would be super helpful on that. Great. Thank you.
He also offered a very important note about the Secretary of State filing. Right? Is that real?
I'm not going to do it. Do we have a lawyer?
Our general counsel says we don't have to register because it's our official governmental name, but we're going to double check on the website and just.
Okay, I just didn't want that to like not go anywhere. So it's rather significant.
Wire it registered, so I assume prior to
2021. We'll work on it.
Thank you, Josh. We'll look into that. What is your hourly rate? Just out of curiosity.
It's like our best. We're all volunteers.
Thanks, Josh. Glad you're here, by the way. Any other questions? Great. This is Commissioner Ryan, yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Kimberly and team. That was great. It was also a lot. And I think sometimes when I listen to your reports, I'm very taken with what I'm hearing. Then I'll leave and I'll think, okay, what are their top three focuses for next year? And how will I know if you've had a successful year? And I think since I've been here, we have dialogue about the ESCO property, the OMSI, which is Central East Side, and ESCO, I already said that Broadway Corridor. Those are the big three that are rattling in my head, but I can't look at your budget and then follow the money to see if those are the top three priorities. Maybe I made them up and that's why I can't find them. Help me understand how the numbers are legible in terms of connecting to your actual priorities. And maybe those aren't even close to your top three.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the reasons that we highlighted the four projects at the beginning was just to illustrate that there are projects that we are really focused on making progress on this year. And I think we can identify those as Broadway Corridor, as the OMSI development agreement, 92nd and Herald, Williams and Russell, and 106th and Pacific. I think those are probably our top five major projects that we are working really hard to move forward. And then I'll just add.
And the TIF districts overlay with most of those.
That's right. Those are within tax increment finance districts. I would add that, you know, if I'm going to do a top 10 prioritization, I know you've asked for three, but just in terms, so those five projects, and then really looking at the exploration of the new generation of tax increment finance districts, while there are pretty moderate resources that are allocated towards that, there is a tremendous amount of staff and community time that's being dedicated towards that, so that we can get that in front of City Council in November, to have potentially the next generation of TIF resources available. And then of course we have standing up the new small business office, and retaining our major employers in the central city. Look for a great announcement, well, citywide, look for a great announcement that's coming out on Thursday, but those are our top, I think I'm counting seven priorities.
We have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
The suspense.
Okay, so that was helpful. And I think when I overlay it with TIF, that's, I'm trying to make this digestible to somebody watching. And I think people out there, investors, they're obviously very nervous about our city's current state.
Yeah.
And they see you as the economic development arm of our city. Mm-hmm. And so I listen to their frustration, and then I try to think, how can I help them in dialogue?
And one of the things that we're hearing, I mean, Lisa mentioned this, but where we are in the capital markets, it's very challenging to get investment in any real estate project right now. I think that's not a surprise to anyone. And so we are nimble and want to be responsive to where there are opportunities. But we're hearing a couple things. We're hearing one, that making progress on projects like Broadway Corridor sends a clear market signal. And so we want to spend time and attention making progress there. So that's why that's a key priority.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And I actually think having 10 priorities is too much. That's just my opinion. And I think getting some real wins, like seeing some demonstrated success in Broadway Corridor is exactly the reputation uptick that we need. So I just want to make sure that as a policymaker in this current body, that I'm supportive of that.
The thing that I want to complement to that is, we're also, you know, the projects in Old Town are smaller than Broadway Corridor, but being able to have a proof of concept with the modest resources that we have to support the conversion of commercial to residential is also something that we think will send a powerful market signal, that it's feasible to do that if we're able to make that happen with our resources. So
it's complicated.
It's complicated, and lenders aren't investing in it right now to the scale that we'd like to see.
Yeah, they're having trouble penciling that out, the ROI. Yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
So that's sort of in general, what we're looking at is, what are gaps in the market, or what are things that could catalyze additional investment, and aligning that with the resources that we have in each of the districts. So I hear you for sure.
And then the small business focus. I wasn't that charitable last time you were here about that, because I do think that we are a small business city, and I don't see our economic arm always being set up to be responsive to that. Clearly, there's been a lot of heartache, what they've experienced, and all of us up here hear those stories over and over again for the right reason. So I'd like to hear in 1 year's time how we think the small business office will be an improvement to those services to small businesses that they're currently not experiencing for the most part.
We're really excited about the investment. I think it both is something that we've heard about for a long time, and something that staff has been thinking about internally. So we look forward to being able to share with you a little bit more in the first and second quarter of next year as that gets launched.
Okay. And I think for me, just I have to translate some of the budget from line item to more function based, so I have a better indication of where the investments are going to these priorities, which you speak of. And it was helping me when I'd overlay it with TIF. But I would just say, in your communication materials, which you guys are very good at across Portland, to keep leaning into that, because I think it would take away the mystery that's not really there, but it's just translation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Gonzalez.
I'm just gonna build off of Commissioner Ryan's inquiry on one level. Just looking through the charter and sort of how the commission's set up, there at least contemplates that council articulates priorities for the commission. with respect to economic development, urban renewal, and affordable housing construction. As of right now, from your vantage point, what has this council articulated as priorities for the commission? And does that dovetail at all with what, you know, you sort of answered with Commissioner Ryan's question?
Yeah, I'll point to a couple of things. And some of these are change in practices. So first I'll point to Advance Portland, which is the city's economic development agency, but as we mentioned, is a council adopted policy that really guides all of our work. So that sets our priorities in terms of which industries we're prioritizing, the kinds of investments that we're making in neighborhoods, just really the full range of what we're doing is all in furtherance of Advance Portland. But digging down one level deeper, we have over the last few years, since I think about 2011, is that, about the last 10 years, we've done something different in what I would call active tax increment finance districts, and those are five-year action plans. And so those five-year action plans have been approved by City Council. So Old Town, Gateway, Lentz, and North Northeast each have five-year action plans. And those we've brought before after significant community engagement and understanding what the remaining resources were and then brought to council. And so those are council authorized policies. And then finally, of course, the set-aside policy is City Council's affordable housing direction to Prosper Portland. And that is why we allocate about 45% of our resources to the Portland Housing Bureau. And then they steward those resources in alignment with the set-aside policy.
Okay. And then two related questions. So also by charter, the mayor promotes certain industries. How would you articulate where Prosper ends and the mayor's office starts, or vice versa, in supporting the growth of industry, at least in current practices?
I'm not sure about the portion of charter. Can you help me understand?
It just contemplates the mayor has, you know, promotes in such industry as he sees fit. And I'm just, think about the role Andrew has and
sure.
And just sure. How would you articulate okay. what
thank
what
you
Prosper does and
yeah
what,
thank you my you know as long as I remember, I think with the exception of when Gretchen Gafori was a commissioner, traditionally Prosper Portland and previously Portland Development Commission was within the mayor's portfolio. And so what I anticipate that they're speaking to is the fact that as commissioner in charge or the official liaison, the role that Commissioner Rubio is playing, there's a lot of championing and direction that comes forward. And so as the commissioner in charge or the central liaison to Prosper Portland, they are the more regular person who we're engaging with and promoting the work on a regular basis in between council actions. We work really closely with Andrew. We work really closely with Angela because oftentimes companies do want to hear from the mayor. They want to hear from the commissioner in charge. There's a lot of value in having elected officials come on behalf of the entire city and highlight the incredible investments that our businesses are making. So it's been my experience that we really work in lockstep and there's a lot of alignment. And there are some things that the mayor, the commissioner, or their staff are better suited to do. Some of those are more ceremonial and some of those are in fact really solution oriented. For example, making sure that PBEM is working. You know, the mayor or the commissioner have a different leverage point than we do. One of the things that's been incredibly helpful that's happened as we are retaining businesses, given Commissioner Rubio's portfolio, is being able to make sure that the Bureau of Development Services is expediting permitting for major investments. So those kinds of things are happening with regularity based on their positions as our chief liaisons.
Could I jump in on this? It's an excellent question. I appreciate Commissioner Gonzalez asking it. So our office gets detailed frequently to businesses that are already here, as well as businesses that are potentially being recruited. Oftentimes it's Prosper that we hear about potentially recruited businesses and we're brought into those discussions. We tend to lead the discussions locally if it's related to crime, homelessness, or livability. And we have people in my office specifically who reach out and maintain relationships with existing businesses in the city, Andrew Fitzpatrick being foremost amongst those. But also Dakota was very involved in those activities as well. And I would say in recent years, like at least the entirety of my term, the focus has been predominantly on providing city services to those small businesses. It has not been the large scale recruitment and ribbon cuttings and the like. It's been clean up the street, clean up the graffiti, deal with the homeless encampment, deal with the criminality element near businesses. And that's really been a key part of our focus. Now, having said that, obviously we've worked in collaboration with Prosper on a number of things. The navigation center issue is one that came to us. It's one that Prosper put a lot of time and energy into resolving. The Office of Small Business, that was a collaborative effort that came from Prosper, from Commissioner Rubio, from business leadership, just saying, look, we need a touch point somewhere at City Hall that's focused narrowly on those issues. During the protests, we heard from many, many, many small businesses and large that they needed help getting back onto their feet after people had gone in and engaged in criminal destruction and vandalism towards those businesses. We created both a grant program, which is administered now through Prosper Portland and other issues. The events office, things like the ice rink, and then the commercial space program, that's really one that came out of your office, I believe. It was originated in Prosper, is that correct? But it's one, frankly, through the mayor's office, we've been able to leverage through our personnel. And then just the focus on industries. We had Josh and talking about the film office, so the coordination of the film and the events office. That's a partnership that I don't think we could do without Prosper, the focus on outdoor sports and outdoor apparel as a potential cluster. The work we're doing around arts and culture to help revitalize the city. I think everybody on this council has had some interaction. And again, Prosper's helping us to lead those efforts and secure funding for those initiatives. So it's a little bit of a conglomerate. It's a great question. And I'm going to think about it a little more and give you maybe a more succinct answer.
No, that's still.
But it's a really good question. I appreciate it.
And I guess the last question in this area is: you think about the way economic development has sort of evolved in the city over the years, PDC to Prosper. How would you characterize the current interplay with the Housing Bureau versus what would have been true 25 years ago? Just sort of as a reminder of the history. And how you see that working currently?
It's a great question. And my institutional memory goes back about two decades, so I can speak to that. So there was a period in which the city had what at the time was called the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, which had things like the community development block grant dollars, your federal funds, and did a lot of planning and also navigated sort of the what was at the time the 10-year plan to end homelessness. And so a lot of the functions that have now been moved into the joint office. So that was the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. Of course, you had at the time Home Forward, which was then HAP. And then you had the Portland Development Commission. And we had at the time a housing department that was largely focused on affordable housing. I think it felt like there was a mismatch between sort of the policy arm and then the development arm and some distrust that Portland Development Commission was really making good on some of the affordable housing priorities, or in any way it was confusing to the general public about who was on first for affordable housing from the city. And so the decision was made to create the Portland Housing Bureau. And that followed on City Council's direction to create the set-aside policy, I think, which also came from the feeling that not enough investment and attention was being made to affordable housing. In 2015, when the set-aside policy was updated and that moved to 45% That really was a meaningful, 30% was significant, but 45% is really a meaningful amount, even more meaningful amount of tax increment finance. Nearly half of all resources now go to affordable housing. And, you know, even at 30%, Portland was really a national leader in establishing affordable housing as such a high priority. We think that we are the highest in the country at 45% as a city. And so in terms of the relationship between Prosper Portland and the Housing Bureau, we are, you know, as close as you can be as organizations. We're sister organizations. We have shared priorities. We co-invest. We, you know, really work very closely together. But we also have an intergovernmental agreement that helps to keep clarity of who's on first for what. At the beginning, after the Bureau was created, that was important. So it's definitely been evolved over time, both organizationally and as investments have been increased by City Council.
Appreciate it. Thank you for walking down some of the history.
Commissioner Ryan?
Can I add one thing, just because I think we also very often, our affordable commercial work is in the ground floor of affordable housing projects. So we're often co-investing physically in real estate assets together.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We don't have a lot of opportunities to do this. So yeah. Thanks. It's good to just have more like a work session dialogue with you as we're in a budget session. So I think the arts comments made earlier by Josh Left, we're good. Of course, there's apples and oranges, I'm sure, in those comparisons. And I experience that sometimes with how we're building our focus. I'm glad that we're talking about arts as an economic driver, like SCORE. Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. We've been consistently staying on that message. And it's all of us should say that. That said, I would like to know how we're all working together. Now that we have an arts office and there's a lot of arts activities and parks, and I think Seattle might do it differently, not to say that we're doing it wrong. And it goes with my focus. Like when you're building an organization and you have these top priorities and the other work that you're doing takes a lot of labor and effort, and I'm not saying it's not important, it might sound harsh, but sometimes it's like high visibility, lower impact, low visibility for those that are moving as best they can, working with the bigger picture developments of the OMSI district, for example. And so I just can't tell if we're spending our precious labor to get the results that we need. And so sometimes it feels like Prosper is taking on, like, oh, if we don't know what to do with it, let's give it to Prosper. I'm not saying that's what you all experience. That's something that I sometimes witness at this end.
I want to make sure that Shay has a chance to speak to the arts integration, because there's a lot of great work happening.
This is not a complaint that no one's not doing a good job. Yeah. From a system organizational standpoint, it's confusing. Yeah.
And I think your point is well taken in terms of how do we prioritize. And part of it for us is an internal structural question. And so maybe next time when we have the conversation, we can show an org chart, because I think it is helpful to know that there are within Lisa's shop, for example, there's a manager who oversees the lending products. There's two managers who oversee major developments. We're going to be consolidating our grant teams. And so while it feels like we do a number of different things, and sometimes we do talk about ourselves as the elephant, and some people know our tusk and some people know our tail, you know, there are distinct teams that really have a depth of subject matter expertise. And oftentimes what then happens is those teams kind of attract the additional work, right? So we had for a long time the film liaison position. And then when there was ideas that came through the mayor's office and Commissioner Mapp's office about a new events team, it was like, well, what's most similar? The film office. Okay, they have capacity, they can do it. And so, but that's not necessarily detracting for or having, that doesn't have any impact really on Lisa's development team. So I don't mean to add kind of additional confusion, but I do think an org chart might help in terms of just showing the ways in which we are able to both find synergies across our work. Sometimes, you know, we're able to do activations on properties that we own and see that synergy between Shay's department and Lisa's department. But oftentimes it's a depth of experience within specific teams.
And I want to say thank you in advance as the arts office and you work together to activate the way too many empty storefronts we have. Yeah. That's a really big deal. And then I'll just also say, as you're ready to reply to this, how can I say this? Sometimes I experience a lot of little activations, mm-hmm. and I wonder if we're paying enough attention to those long-term traditional activations like Rose Festival, and are we investing enough there, which we know have a pretty big ROI?
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner. I'll just speak to a couple of those. So I'd say start by saying we're extremely grateful for Darian and for Jeff. Not Darian.
That's the arts office, yeah. For those who are listening.
Darian has joined us this year as a partner in the Community Event Grant Fund. And so we're extremely excited to be able to serve more event producers through that grant with his support. I'll also add, you're 100% right with the direction in which the Events and Film Office is moving. Given that we work in close partnership with Travel Portland around incentivizing large events to come here and supporting the navigation of those larger events, that has been where the majority of the dollars have gone, right? To either the larger events in the form of $75,000, $100,000 supports for those anchor institutions like the Winter Lights Festival, certainly supporting and working with Nick and team at the Rose Festival. But as we look at next year, you're gonna see more funds going to not only those large institutional events, but also to the scale-up program. That's where we see Travel Portland wanting to see its dollars go towards. And so that is not just to take the idea of, yeah, let's support our small community events. Those are certainly important. They provide a role in activating our neighborhoods and our downtowns. But we have a lot of events in this city that have been around for a few years, and they're just at that level of 10,000 people. But what's it going to take to get them to get to 50,000 people or bring 300,000 people the way that some of our larger waterfront activations do? So that's the point of the scale-up program. So we're very excited about that one. We're also excited by the Film Office. The funding that we've received this year really allows us to double down on the concierge role. So working with Commissioner Rubio's office on bringing some real catalytic events back to the city, such as the PABS Festival, that's a partnership with Commissioner Rubio's team. And then our team is working as well with folks such as Rockstar, right? So we have a lot of these movements. We also are providing concierge support services to folks like the Formula E, as well as working with Sport Oregon around things such as, could we potentially bring the triathlon to the city, right? So there's a lot of bids that we're pursuing. There's a lot of bringing folks to the city. That kind of service is what allowed us to work with the final four that recently came here, right? So being able to tour those folks from the city, show them the value.
And Elite Eight, yeah. Women, yeah.
So you'll see more
against the lead, but you're providing concierge services.
That's right.
Is that the right word?
For yes.
That? Like, oh, dope. Great.
So you'll see larger event support as well as that concierge.
Okay. I think I have a softball type dreamy question for you, Kimberly. When you compare yourself to your peers in other cities, what tools do they have to partner with investors and the community that you wish Prosper Portland had? Is it in this budget?
Well, I mean, so I'll start by saying we appreciate having tax increment finance. It is a tool that only Oregon has on the West Coast, so it's not available in Washington or California, and that makes a big difference.
Got it.
But unlike a number of cities and states on the East Coast and certainly in the South, and this is generally something that you see more at the state level, but sometimes at the city level, we don't have a tradition of tax incentives as a state that are, you know, that's meaningful. So Shay mentioned the Enterprise Zone, which is a tax abatement program. It's our best tool that we have, and we are very grateful for it. But we are competing against major cities and states that will spend millions of dollars to attract and retain major employers. And that sometimes puts us at a competitive disadvantage.
I really appreciate that. And I think the more data we have on that, because I think we're good at starting, we have people here who are brilliant and are entrepreneurs that start businesses, but they don't always feel supported to keep growing here. So I think that might be where we need to invest, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
But anyway, that was really crisp and clear. I hope my colleagues heard that, because I think we're behaving in a way that's not going to get us to the next level. And just to, I mean, for example, when I first got the assignment that the mayor gave me with doing something about homelessness, we acted. We were the ones that got the villages started. And yet right when we started building them, we were told we had to decommission three villages with no services that were set up and were pretty grim. And so in Water Avenue, there were two and there was one in the old town. So we stopped everything and decommissioned those. And now they're sitting there waiting for the investment, correct? And what's the holdup like? I think because we had to stop everything and help with that, you just wonder what is it because of the calamity that we're currently experiencing?
Yeah, the capital markets are really challenging. We are optimistic. We are working closely with in the Central East Side on the workshop blocks with Beam and Colas on the event venue. So hopefully we'll start seeing that this year moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. And that's one of the aspirations for next year?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's good to have some real dialogue. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Fabulous. Colleagues, since we're meeting as the Prosper Portland Budget Committee, this is a little unusual in that we won't be asking for a motion or a second today. We'll be continuing this. So with that, this meeting of the Prosper Portland Budget Committee is continued to May 15th at 4 p.m., where members of the committee will hear any amendments to the budget, and the committee will vote to approve the budget. Thank you. Terrific discussion. Thanks for being here. And we are adjourned.